Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. Title of tonight's lesson is Life's Biggest Questions. And I think it's good to ask questions. I think that's a good thing. Don't ever be embarrassed. Have you ever seen the sign that said, questions free, dumb questions cost? You know, there are some times that people ask dumb questions. But one's world views matter. What is our starting point? It matters as we interpret history. And it matters as we seek to make sense of everything going on around us. And you must admit there are some strange things that are happening today in our world. It affects our views of both the present and the future. Let us note four of life's biggest questions. Why am I here? Why do people suffer and die? How do we know right from wrong? Is there any hope? I got these four questions from the Answers in Genesis group out of Kentucky. And I thought to myself, these are four good questions. Why am I here? Why do people suffer and die? How do we know right from wrong? Is there any hope? From an evolutionary worldview, man is no more than a cosmic accident, the product of time and chance. Suffering and death have always existed. There is no basis for morality outside of ourselves. And there is literally no hope from suffering and death. Now that is if you're coming from the evolutionary point of view. Questions. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, if you would, please. Acts chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 1. And it says, the former Tristes have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus both began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. How many days later? 10 days, right? Day of Pentecost. Verse 6. Here comes the question. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come this evening and to sing the songs of praise and to look into your holy word, Lord, help us to make a difference both here and around the world through our testimony. Lord, we pray for this church that you would use it, that it could be a lighthouse for you. May we keep our eyes, Lord, on the task. Lord, for the upcoming mission conference, bless it, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Most Jews at that point in time were sick and tired of the Roman Empire. They were sick and tired of what was going on. And they wanted, once again, to have the praise and honor that they once had had during David and Solomon's time. I read this the other day. What three places should every American see before they die? What three places? And they were talking about places in America. Three places. And they gave the answers. Can I give you the answers? Probably most of us have seen at least one of these, because it's not that far away. But number one, the Grand Canyon. You should, if you're an American, have seen the Grand Canyon. I mean, that big hole in the ground out there. I mean, it's pretty good. Number two, you should have seen the Niagara Falls. And that's not that far away. You can get there in a day and actually get there and get back in a day. And it's well worth it. And if you want to know, there's another waterfall not too far away that I can tell you of that you can stop and see. It's called Balls Falls. Can you remember that? It's there in the orchards where they make wine. But you're not going there for that. You're going to see Balls Falls. But do you have any idea what the third one was? Now, I'll be honest with you. This one caught me totally off guard. And some of you have probably been there. Hoover Dam. Nope, that's not it. Mount Rushmore. Now, that seems like a logical place. But that was not number three. It's in Tennessee. On the west side of the state. Graceland. I don't know how many of you have ever seen Graceland. You know, it's been sold out of the family for about $55 million. How'd you like to sell your house for $55 million? That'd set you up for life, right? Yes, but they said these three things you should see before you die. So anyways, Don and I, we've seen two of them. Yeah, we have. Have you ever at a restaurant been walking from the door to the table and seen something that looked really, really good on someone's table and you stopped and asked them what it was? Or have you ever been asked, what are you having? You know, would you order it again? Yes. You know, asking for directions is okay, guys. Yes. Asking for directions. And never be afraid to ask the way to a waterfall. I have done it on many occasions. Buying a car. Maybe a good thing is, how do you get to the gas cap? You know, they used to have gas caps with that little finger thing, and you could open it up. And now some of them, they don't have that, so you have to push it at the right place. The other day, I was asked at the funeral home to drive their new van someplace. And I get in, you know, and I started it up, and I went to put it into drive, and there was no gear shift. There was no stick shift. And I'm looking, and I'm thinking, what? And I thought to myself, please, Lord, I don't want to have to go ask him how to put it into drive. And suddenly I realized there was this little knob. You just turned it. Any of you have one of those things where you just turn it? Yes. Wow. Sometimes asking questions can be embarrassing. One thing I'm always asking Don is, why does my cell phone do that? You know, why doesn't it cooperate? Do you have a cell phone that has a mind of its own? And you think to yourself, what in the world? But question number one, if you would take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Why am I here? Why? What is the purpose? Why am I here? Now you ponder this. Long before there was money being earned, there were people. Correct? So life isn't about the money, is it? No. I mean, let's be honest about it. Long before there were great big houses and nice cars and nice jewelry, there was life. So is life about the jewelry or the nice houses or the nice cars or the gyms or these things? No. So why are we here? verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Do you know that there are some areas where you can get into trouble if you call your son a boy or you call your daughter a girl? Because they're saying they should make the decision themselves. Well, I hope you always let your girls know they're girls. Yes. But why are we here? From a biblical creationist worldview, we know that man is made in God's image. We are made in God's image. One of the things that now is at the Women and Teen Pregnancy Center, now known as Next Step, okay? They have now the opportunity to do ultrasounds so that a woman pondering having an abortion can see the little one. And a lot of times once they see the little one in there, they don't have the desire to have the abortion. When they see that it is someone that is in there. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb yielding seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Oh, wait a minute. I guess they didn't eat cows back then, did they? No, they were vegetarians. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that was, that he had made, and behold, it was what? It was what? Very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Man was created to tend the garden, to populate the world, and to have fellowship with him. Chapter 3, if you would, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Can you imagine having that type of relationship with our Creator? Question. How is your fellowship with our Almighty Creator God tonight? Why am I here? Number two, why do people suffer and die? Have you ever pondered that? Why do they have to die? Why do they have to suffer? All of us have probably suffered at one point or another. Cindy and I were discussing some back pain a little bit earlier, and sometimes you just learn to live with it. It's there and it's difficult and you just understand that it's part of life and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. But why do people have to suffer and die? People don't like to ponder sin. But sin, of course, is part of life. Romans chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Wow. Then 14a, nevertheless death reigned. One out of one dies right now. We are going to suffer, and we are going to die. God created a perfect world. But as we read in Genesis 1:31, it is now broken because of man's sin and rebellion. He ruined it. Have you ever ruined something that was brand new? Have you ever done something and you thought, oh, I can't believe I did that. It was brand new. I remember I was working for Mr. Steak, and I bought some brand new blue jeans, and I wore them in to do the work there in the galley where I washed the dishes, and I sprinkled some bleach on my brand new pants. To this day, I still remember that. To this day, I'm still bothered by that fact that I did that. Those pants now were really good for anything except to work in. Shouldn't wear brand new pants to work, should you? No. But maybe you have ruined something, something that was precious to somebody. Well, because of sin, there is suffering, there is illness, and there is death in our society. And that's why people suffer. Good people. People that you love, people that you care for, people that you would probably change positions with if you could. And we know that death comes. I was talking to a young woman last night, and she was talking about her grandmother that lives in Alabama. And she was talking about the fact that they have just put her into hospice care. Well, we all know what that means. You know, do you remember before hospice? You know, they would say people aren't doing well. They don't have long. Of course, now they use the word hospice, and immediately we think, oh, 5, 6, 10 days maybe. But people suffer. Question number 3, how do we know right from wrong? How many of you have 2 left hands? Do you ever get confused? You ever have someone say your other left hand? You know, they tell you to turn and you go in the wrong direction. Do any of you have that issue? Am I the only one? Okay. The fact of the matter is there are rights and there are wrongs and there are consequences. Now, I know that in our society today, there are those who want to say, do what you want to do. If it feels good, do it. God has no right to tell us. And you know, there are people who want to make God agree with them. But we are to agree with God. That's why Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Who is supposed to be doing the agreeing, us or God? We need to do the agreeing. We shouldn't expect God to turn around and go with us. No, we need to walk with God. Our Creator determines what is right and wrong. And because all have offended God by their sinful ways, we read, of course, in the book of Romans, the wages of sin is death. God gave the children of Israel the 10 commandments plus all the secondary laws. He had the desire to tell them which way to go. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that they seem simple, 10 commandments. We should be able to do 10 commandments, right? Shouldn't we be able to do that? I mean, after all, with your computer, how many fonts do you have on your computer? 10? 20? 40? 100? 10 commandments, we should be able to do that. So let me ask you this question. Which one's the easiest to do? Not murder. Now, do you realize you can murder somebody with actually shedding blood? Because if your thought life is, I'd like to kill you, what have you done? You've actually done the murdering. How about the other ones? Are they easy? Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's a hard one. Thou shalt not covet. Uh-oh. You know, thou shalt not steal. They go right down the list. But the fact is, we have been told rights and wrongs. You ever watch professional tennis for 5 or 6 minutes maybe? And they're knocking the ball back and forth. And you know, to be honest, if you've ever played tennis, it's an exciting game. And then somebody hits the ball and the referee on the line says it's out. And we remember, of course, some of the top names down through the years that began to scream and yell and shout and tell them they were blind and they didn't know what they were doing because they thought from the other side of the court they could see if that ball was in or out, right? Sure. See, there are always those who are going to say, hey, you made the mistake. Let me give you an example. I told you that Don and I went over to Jimmy John's Field for the very first time a couple weeks ago. And so we're way down past the dugouts there on the left field side, and there was a play at home plate. And the ball was thrown in, the catcher got it, he got the man as he was sliding in. It was a bang, 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 bang play. And from where we were, we couldn't see. And yet the man I was sitting to said, up, you got it wrong. You know, here he is 200 feet away and he thinks he can see what's going on. And many times that's the way we walk through life with blinders on. My way, Lord, I want it to do it my way. But the fact is, the Lord has the right to tell us what is right and wrong. Correct?
Yes.
He has the right. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, told them to abstain from all appearances of evil. So not only don't do evil, don't look like you could be doing evil. Don't look like you could do something that is wrong. Our only hope is found in the love that God the Father showed by sending God the Son to die for our sins. Let me read to you from John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you realize in that verse it gives you an option? Correct? It gives you a choice. Whosoever what? Believeth. See, there are those people who say, well, God shouldn't tell me that I have to do this. And God says, yes, you have to do this. You have to believe in me. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What an awesome thought that he was willing to die for us. Take your Bibles, please, and quickly turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read some verses here that you may have marked as special. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. So if we want to be redeemed, there is only one way, correct? And that is through the shed blood of Christ. Why are there those who are trying to get there another way? Last night, as I was listening to the rosary being read at a service, and the woman that was doing it began to say things like, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Scriptural? Thousands that believe it, millions that believe it. And yet we find Mary was not a perfect person. And she had more than one child. But we need to remember that we are saved through the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Over in chapter 2, beginning at verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. How do we know right from wrong? Well, we need to go to the one that knows. We need to go to the one that is our example. We need to follow our Lord. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe because we had a debt we could not pay. He did it right. Number four, is there any hope? Is there any hope? In the evolutionary worldview, we die and that is that. That's all. That there is no afterlife for anyone. All people will eventually die and cease to exist. I mean, after all, we're a mistake. We're here by chance. We're really no better than the apes and the monkeys and the primates. There is no justice, and ultimately everything ends. See, it's where our starting point is. If you would, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Do you have hope in your life? Ephesians chapter 2, beginning, if you would please, at verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Folks, we live in a generation of people that have no hope. They have nothing to hold on to, but we do. Psalm 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. The psalmist David wrote, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Folks, we need to have hope in our Lord, because that hope is something to which we can cling no matter what we're going through in life. Romans 12:12a says, rejoicing in hope. That's a reason we come to church on a Wednesday night, is to rejoice in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. You're in Ephesians. Turn over to Colossians, if you would, chapter 1 and verse 27. Colossians 1 and verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. The hope of glory. For our last verse that I'll ask you to turn to, the book of John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we'll begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 6. Is there hope? Absolutely, there's hope. There's a hope for the dying world. There's a hope for those who in our society do not know where to look. Suicides up during the COVID time. People worried about what the future holds. God knows the future. He knows what's coming down the road. It didn't catch him by surprise. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In conclusion, in the biblical creationist worldview, we know that human life was created by God to live forever. We will either spend eternal life with the Creator or be separated from Him eternally in the lake of fire. God's justice will be preserved, and those in Christ will live in eternal joy and peace. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad for the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope that we have, Lord, in knowing you. And we ask this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.